listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest this third hour is Reverend Frederick Shaw. He is CCHR's International Director of Public Affairs. And we're going to talk about something that is just horrendous beyond belief. It is terrible what they're doing to children, currently. We talked about children in the previous 2 hours a little bit. Children are precious, and to think about what doctors, quote unquote, are currently doing to children in the name of helping them is just horrendous. Now, Fred has a long history. He's a native of Compton, California. He's worked in that area his entire life. He's an advocate for issues concerning safe community centers, youth and family activities, the importance of education, the reduction of poverty and drug addiction. He's worked as a sheriff with the Sheriff's Department of Los Angeles County from 1980 to 1993. In 1992, he became the president and co-founder of the World Literacy Crusade, which is an international organization with the purpose of eradicating poverty and helplessness in the inner cities and around the world. And he's just got a remarkable history, and he's doing really remarkable things. Do we have him? Oh, good. Good. Reverend Shaw, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you and allowing me to have this platform to get across the message that I believe is needed across the nation.
Absolutely. And I can't believe that the parents would allow their children to be electroshocked.
Well, the thing is that in this society, we have been pretty much taught to believe authority. The same way we don't necessarily question our accountant or our lawyer is the same way we do when it comes to mental health and some of the other industries connected to the medical profession. So it's one of those things that we're groomed all our life to believe authority, and then, you know, we don't question it when it comes to our own children and stuff, because we generally don't even question it when it comes to us.
Yes, you're right. And we were talking about that in the first hour, that we just don't question authority. For instance, with the COVID thing going on right now, there's, you know, people are doing what they're told to do, even though it costs them a great deal in terms of everything, in terms of their freedom.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm not here to necessarily take sides on this, but this is what I do know. When you start telling us that we can carry diseases and don't know it, when you start telling us these type of things, and I'm not saying the virus isn't real and people aren't dying from it, but we've kind of gotten into this boogeyman effect that you can't trust your neighbors, can't trust your family, and then when we can't interact with all of these people, when we can't go out and socialize and enjoy the sun and visit and go to amusement parks and stuff, then you start questioning, why am I here? I mean, am I here just to be afraid, or especially since nobody seems to know the truth about this virus, including the CDC. I think we should be careful. I think we should wash our hands, wear our masks, do these type of things. But I think that, you know, we should have a little bit more open society than we have right now.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, for sure. What is going on is horrific in terms of everybody. Everybody's life is impacted. Everybody's. And it's just horrific. But getting back to the children and electroshock, what is going on now in that particular field? And
Well, there are several states that are doing electroshock. I don't have the names of them per se, but they're doing it on children from 0 to 5 years of age.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
An infant?
0 to 5 years. In fact, we're electroshocking pregnant women, which means that the babies are getting electricity through their body before they're even born.
Oh, my gosh.
And some of this electroshock is causing miscarriages. And when you ask, why would you electroshock a pregnant woman, they will tell you for severe depression. But then if a mother wakes up and she's lost her baby, wouldn't we think that that would cause even more depression? So,
right.
You know, there's certain things having to do with cruelty which fit in this field of psychiatry that I don't know why people are not more interested in this field when we see the results of electroshock. For example, I can electroshock you and probably cause a million brain cells to die. But if I do that to a child, who has not developed, so I killed a million brain cells, but all of those brain cells that would have been born off of the brain cells that I killed, I even have killed their future. So now we look at a kid that seems like he can't move along in life, he's not developing properly. Well, you did that with the electric shock. You killed those cells. So
now, would you also apply that to where they take what do they call that when they look at a woman's stomach, look at the pregnancy? And I've talked about it on the radio before.
Ultrasound?
Yes. Yeah. My brain just went.
No, they are two different things.
But I think they're both not good.
Oh, now that might be true, but I'm not an expert in ultrasound at all. I thought that it just picks up images. But I don't know the devastating effects that it has or whatever. That's not my field.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever that you have researched and found on that, is probably accurate. But I just don't know enough about that part of it.
I cannot believe. Why would they treat a baby, an infant, with electric shock? Why would they do that? What earthly reason could they possibly have to do that?
More than likely because it makes a lot of money. I mean, that's the best answer I can give you. I can't give you any physiological reason why you would do that. In fact, I wonder and question if we cannot do it to prisoners of war and terrorists, then why are we doing it to children and pregnant women? And when they tell us, like if you went on the internet right now, they would tell you that, you know, they give a mild dose of electricity. Well, let me give you the fact on it. They give you electricity until you have a grandma seizure. And they will go up to 460 volts where your light socket at home, and most of us boys have stuck forks and stuff in when we were kids, and that's a pretty nice little shock there to the system. That's only 120 volts. So when you go 460, you're talking about industrial type power, you know, and that is going through the brain. And if you notice, people who have had it, they can still a lot of times function, but they are never the same as they were before they started it. And there's a lot of testimony to that. I held hearings on that in Atlanta when we protested electric shock. And we held hearings and people came in. And there was this good-looking, handsome white kid. So this ain't just black people and Hispanics. This is a nice-looking boy who at 19 had several rounds of electric shock. And at 23, he still could not remember anything before high school. He couldn't remember who his girlfriend had been, who his best friend had been. His father had to teach him how to tie his shoes. And I said, did they tell you the effect that electric shock can have on you? And he said, well, they told me. He said, well, my father told me, they told me. He couldn't even remember what they told him. So this is what's going on in our society. And this is one of the big threats to our freedom, because we had a state senator say that she had a very bright sister who, she's still alive, I believe, but she, what she had, something that happened, she had gotten a drug, something, they didn't know, and she kind of flipped out. It might even have been simple dehydration. We don't know. And they took her to a mental institution, and they electric shocked her before her family could even get to her.
Oh, my gosh.
The senator said she never again was the same.
And with the Affordable Health Care Act, they can do that because the government now has control of your body and can make decisions. And if the if a doctor says this is what this person needs, or if the hospital or trauma center or whatever says this is what is needed, then you could actually be penalized if you don't go along with it. Isn't that true?
Well, the thing is if you're in the mental hospital, then they don't even have to penalize you. They can just, you have to go along with it. They can go down and get a court order from a judge without you ever appearing and being able to defend yourself. And then the judge can sign off on it. And then you can be electroshocked against your will.
Oh, my gosh. I want to go back to why would they do that to an infant? What possible reason?
There is no viable reason that you would electroshock an infant. Now, I'm not going to put words in the mouth of CCHR, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, but I would use my own words in this. To electroshock children who are defenseless, who depend on us for their survival, is, in my opinion only, evil. You should not violate the oath of do no harm and then electroshock children. You should not violate that oath and electroshock women who are pregnant or anyone against their will. You should give people full consent. Look, let me give you full consent on electroshock, and then you'll see why they don't even give you really full consent. So if you have electroshock, you might develop seizures. You may have organ damage or brain damage. If you're pregnant, your baby may go into a miscarriage state. Would you take electroshock if a doctor was telling you that you could die on the electroshock table? I mean, so they don't give full consent. That's all.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out why, I know you said that it was about money, but what does an infant do that would warrant a doctor saying, let's electroshock this little infant? What could the provocation be, in addition to money? What? Why?
You cannot tell me why you would electroshock or even drug a kid with psychiatric drugs at that age.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no viable reason. I remember debating a psychiatrist once, and I asked him, well, what is a sign of mental illness in a child that's a year old? He said, well, you can pick the child up, and if the child looks away, it's a sign that he could possibly have mental illness. I said, who picks up the child? The therapist or the parent? He said, the therapist. I said, then the child is going to look away to see where his parent is.
Oh, my gosh.
But what happens is good people like you and I, we want to believe in this system to the point that we want to believe these people. But there is no medical science behind this industry. They say, oh, there's a chemical imbalance of the brain. But some of the top psychiatrists in the world have debunked that. But they still use that because of the medication. There's a lot of money being made on this stuff. So therefore, even though some of the top psychiatrists have said, yeah, well, this is all subjective. This is not based on any hardcore evidence. We still do it to make money. This thing goes so deep. We'll look at the diagnostic, DSM. Now, it's supposedly a statistical manual. But when you open it up, there's no statistics in it. Now, this is the way we associate things. I'll open up the book and I'll see numbers. Statistics click, and I think even statistics. Those are billing codes. They're not statistics. They have to use those codes to bill for the diagnosis that they say their patients have.
Right.
There's no statistics in the book, but they call it that because it sounds more scientific, it sounds more real, it makes people think that this is a authoritative book, and it's none of that. And I'm not saying, we all know, that I'm not getting into the mental health and say, there's nobody with mental illness or anything. I'm saying these people don't know how to treat it if it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that if I am depressed and you treat me with Prozac for depression, and then when I read the label and it says one of the side effects, which is actually the effect, it's not a side effect, it's what the drug does. If I say that this is the side effect, is depression, how do you treat depression with a drug that can cause depression?
Exactly. And when you mentioned Prozac, only 287 people actually took it before it was offered to the public. And so the people that started taking it were really doing the clinical trials. And Prozac, I'm sure that it, well, I'm not sure at all. It might help some people, but 50% of the people who take a drug will usually die from that drug, is my understanding from Dr. Jennifer Daniels. And they tell you that in medical school.
Mm. Well, it's so bad that when I give my speeches and stuff, and I'm talking to a crowd that don't know me, and sometimes they're psychiatrists and different people who want to challenge, I tell the audience, well, look, don't believe me. Believe their own commercials.
Oh, right. You know,
their commercial tells you what happened. And when most people think back, and what, you know, I once did a little quick survey. I mean, how many of you people have ever listened to what?
Fred, we need to go to a real quick break. We'll be right back.
It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we
take. All righty, we are back. And our guest this last hour is Reverend Frederick Shaw. And we're talking about commercials. And, you know, they always show pictures. And 75% of the people take things in visually. And so they're looking at the picture on the TV screen, but they're not reading down at the bottom or listening to what is being said about all these things that could happen. And really what that commercial functions as is a warning so that the pharmaceutical company can say, well, we warned you. We've made it a public warning what could happen to you.
And that's to help them not get sued, you know.
Right.
But I've asked the question is to audiences, how many of you believe that the treatment, when you do listen to these commercials, are worse than the disease? And it, you know, many of them even went outside of mental health. But when you listen to the rundown of all of the things that can happen permanent, they're so bad now that they are actually doing commercials saying if you get a permanent switch or your vision gets bad or your mouth slurs, this is a normal reaction to the drug. Like you folks say, oh, okay, that's how bad these drugs are now. But they got to advertise to say that the drug, if you get the side effect, that's normal. How can they do that?
Exactly. And the side effects, they make it sound like they're not supposed to be there. They are the effects of the drug. Side effects don't apply here. These are the effects of the drug that the person is taking. Now, not everybody is going to respond negatively to a drug. There are some people who have mental problems who take a drug and it helps them. But that isn't always the case, right?
It's not always the case, and let us be clear on what help means. If help means it restores you back to where you are normally, that's one thing. If it means that we subdue you to where you're not a problem to people around you, well, that doesn't mean you've gotten any better. It just means that you're drugged to the point where you can't participate. So we have to make sure when we talk about getting better, because I had a young man who actually came to our museum in California, who actually told me that that electroshock worked because his grandmother doesn't nag him anymore. Well, grandmother doesn't nag anybody anymore. Well, but he's going on the same model that mental health is going on, that because we don't have mental health in this country, we have mental control in this country. If it was mental health, I would think faster, my IQ would rise, I would think clearer, but we don't get that. We get, Fred Shaw gets drunk and acts out and breaks out the windows and drives drunk. So what we do is give him a drug so he won't do that, and then so since I don't do that, you don't handle the problem why I do that. You just give me a drug so I'm incapable of doing that, and then everybody thinks I'm better. That's not necessarily better. You just shut the individual down.
Wow. Wow. So the voltage that this electroshock uses, I know I'm going. I was reading an email from a listener, and so they use the electroshock. Are typically around how many volts?
They go up to 460, but it has to be increased to that amount or close to it or whatever point the person goes into a grandma seizure. It's so funny that the rest of medicine is trying to prevent seizures, but electroshock actually has a part of it creating a seizure, which does brain damage a lot of times itself.
Wow.
Now, I'm only saying that because, I've had doctors tell me that seizures can cause brain damage. So, therefore, if you create a seizure, it still does what a seizure do.
Well, so they're trying to create a grand mal seizure? Or work up to
right.
it?
Right. And let me say this. They had, everybody thought that electroshock had disappeared and been outlawed. It never was outlawed. I run into people all the time that didn't even know that they still do electroshock. But electroshock was his own worst enemy originally. So what happened was that you'd bring people to see how electroshock worked, and they would see bones disjoint and come dislocate, spines, all types of things would occur while they watch it as the person is going through convulsions, their body is jerking uncontrollably. So now what they do, they advertise, even though they use more electricity than they used to, they advertise that the electroshock now is new and improved and much better. But actually all they do is give you a paralytic drug to go along with the anesthesia so your body will not show the signs. But your body is still going through the same trauma that it went through in the old days. But now it looks better. You know, and you might see the person's toes twitching or something like that. But now it looks much better, and it looks like you're helping the individual. But talk to people who have had it. Even people who would agree with it. I had a lady say, oh, I think it must have helped me. And she was talking slow. Her speech was slurred somewhat. Not a lot. You know, you could hear her coherently and stuff. And she even thought that I can't remember things at times, and I forget people I know, but she thought it helped her. But look at all of the things that she say is occurring to her because of that.
Wow.
Imagine waking up one day and you could not recognize your best friends or family. You didn't know who they were.
Wow.
I mean, that's dramatic in itself.
They used to do lobotomies, and I classify electroshock kind of in the same category. I just cannot imagine. I just can't imagine them doing it on children. It's just.
Well, the thing is, let me address the lobotomy thing. Lobotomy was interesting because it taught me one thing. One of the most noted lobotomists, Dr. Walter Freeman, he admitted that 25% of his patients ended up in a vegetated state.
Oh my gosh.
He admitted that. We have it posted in our museum. And nobody thought about the patient. He was driving around in what they call a lobotomy mobile, going to parks, reference where he was referred, and different places, and giving lobotomies on the spot and destroying people's lives.
Oh, my gosh.
1 million people suffered lobotomy before they shut it down. And I believe that was only because too many people had died, not because of the brain damage it caused, but too many people had died.
Wow.
you literally take an ice pick.
Yeah, I read how it's done.
Yeah.
Go ahead, explain how.
Huh?
Yeah, go ahead and give us how it was done.
Yeah. Like, you have the little hollow point up around the eyeball that's mm-hmm. right up under the bone, and you would take an ice pick type object or whatever instrument that was sharp like that, and you would mm-hmm. push it into the brain and literally rake. And if the person was more docile, you considered it successful. Well, if you destroy my brain, the chances are I will be more docile.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
But that's considered success. And so we have to go back. Look, you can trace, like, you see all of this stuff going on in the community right now, and Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. And the police are being attacked, and they're being defunded, or money being redirected. But if you go back, the medical model for some of this training, like Dr. David Grossman's killology concepts and stuff, comes right out of mental health, and we can track from Dr. Benjamin Rush up to today the medical model that supports and backs racism right out of psychiatry. The attack on the church. Oh, yeah. I can take you from Dr. Benjamin Rush, who came up with the word negritude, who said black people's skin was dark because they had a disease akin to leprosy, and that white people should stay away from them. Whites should stay away from them. And the only way to know if black people were cured or sane was if they turned white. That was right out of Dr. Benjamin Rush, who they put on the logo in the 60s of the American Psychiatric Association seal.
Oh, my gosh.
Up until 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Terrible. Terrible.
I mean, look, I can just keep coming up the line up to today where Dr. Straven says that 50% of the medical students still believe that black people's skin is thicker than white and their nerve ending is less sensitive. So you hear people complaining they couldn't get pain meds, they couldn't do this and all that. But these ideas come from somewhere.
Wow. Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
And the attack on the church, the attack on our education, we pull the string on this stuff. It goes back to mental health. I have a black psychiatrist, older gentleman, say that when he was in school, they told him that black people didn't have the capacity to think, so they should be drugged because therapy could not work on them.
Wow.
They taught that in the school.
My gosh.
So, well, I won't take up our time dealing with that. That could be another subject where I can really break it down. But the thing is, these people have been behind. Why can't we educate our children? Because you get more money when you label them.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Yes. If they have, if they're overactive, ADHD, then the school district gets more money. It's all about money.
Let me give you, it's all about, look, psychiatry wouldn't even be an issue if the government didn't fund it. They were able to convince people that you got to fund this. And you can do things like they did in South Africa. You go into schools and you offer mental health services for free. You get the kids on drugs. Then you withdraw. Nobody's thinking that these drugs are addictive. So then when you withdraw, the kids act out because they're addicted. So now they can go and say, look, Your kids need us. Look how they're acting.
Wow.
But if you never hooked them on the drugs in the first place, because they wasn't acting like that in the first place, and one king over there told me, he said, all that's wrong with these children, when they come to school, is many of them are hungry, and they have not slept well. And they're being given drugs for ADHD, and they're giving them drugs without giving them a sandwich.
Well, I totally believe, too, that certain populations are targeted for illegal drugs in order to create stress, in order to create big, huge problems, legal problems. And I totally believe that. We do have a caller. Why don't we take this question? Mike in Kentucky. Mike, do you have a question? Mike in Kentucky?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
now you can
yes.
hear me. I started to say something and you couldn't hear me. From what I've read, a lot of this stuff may be contributing to a lot of the dementia and Alzheimer's, and a lot of people that are on these medications are not closely monitored. I know of one particular individual who just continued to give a refill on something as simple as lithium until it almost killed them because, you know, it displaces electrolytes, and I think it's designed to prevent some of these. I believe some of the mental illness may be very similar to seizures, and that's why they, when they induce a seizure, those chemistry, the chemistry in the brain that's associated with things like multiple personality disorder or what's the other thing, like schizophrenia. Those are the chemicals associated with that. You kind of exhaust those for a while, and then they don't have a seizure. It does kind of a clean out. But I think there's probably some drugs that they don't want to explore, like marijuana or things like, you know, THC, which a lot of neglected children aren't breastfed, you know, they're because of a combination of the feminists and baby formula. They're not given good nutrition. And like you said, when they get to school, they're all, you know, they don't have the basic building blocks for the nervous system, so they're all agitated and their brain's inflamed, and they're given smartphones at the age of 5 or something, so they're not getting good sleep. So I think you guys are on the right track. I've studied a lot of the stuff that is put out by the, what is it called, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, and you're exactly right. They had a thing called the lobotomobile that would go around this country and had an ice pick-like tools that would go up through the eye and up into the brain and scramble people's brains. Now, what did that cure? Not a thing. And I confronted a psychiatrist a few years ago. I said, have you, and this was well after the science was known. I said, do you ever check your patients for things like toxoplasmosis, latent infections, or gluten intolerance? I mean, it's a fairly simple test. And they whipped their head around and said, do I look like a gastroenterologist? And my thinking was, gee, you don't really want to treat the whole person. You know, so it's more about prescribing the drugs. $500 billion industry, right?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I would like to say, though, I think you're right that a lot of these special needs students, the school districts get more money because you've got a situation where you've got children that are really hard to deal with, so each one of them needs their own aid often. So if you only have a classroom of, say, 8 or 9 children, you have a staff of 10 to deal with that. And when they are given a free, adequate public education by the law, that aid has to go out with them if they're able to be put in the classroom with other children and they're not violent, too violent to go. That aid travels around through the school system with them, so that takes a lot more money to do that. But yeah, getting them diagnosed as that is tempting because you're going to get maybe 7 to 9 times more money. You're not going to make money that well, because it takes more staff to handle these kids. So I don't know that a lot of school systems actually make money with these special needs classrooms, but they sure were not going to bring them into the school system without that money. You know, they'd be set at home for their parents to deal with. And what's really disturbing is the school system's telling their parents to take the youngsters off the medication through the summer so it doesn't stunt their growth.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're told, yeah, they have to deal with the kids through the summer without the medication. And I know a guy, I'm friends with him on Facebook, he got fired. I heard an interview with him. He got fired because he suggested to these parents, because they were at their wits' end, they're like, how can we deal with these youngsters? Our child, he's so, you know, hyper and rambunctious and everything and prone to seizures or whatever. Without the medication, how are we supposed to deal with them over the summer? And he would suggest looking into nutrition, like taking fish oil, B vitamins, alpha lipoic acid, some of these things, CoQ10, feed the nerve, calm the nervous system down, and they might be more easy to deal with. He got fired. The boss said, look, we only suggest drugs. But they were telling us,
wow.
I think it was a Los Angeles or some Southern California school system that told that they were telling their kid to take their children off the medication over the summer because of stunting their growth. Anyway, this is something I've looked into for a lot of years. I used to work as a kind of a paraprofessional. I had to take care of some of these special needs kids, and it was one of three part-time jobs, and I had to let something go. So I left them about 9 pages of nurses' notes numbered that they couldn't pull out of the book, the way I felt about how they were being treated. I'm blackballed, I think.
Okay, your response. Reverend.
Well, I would first of all thank him for his comment. And one of the things I do personally believe in is better nutrition, especially for the children. If you send them to school and they've just eaten Cocoa Puffs and Frosted Flakes and all of these sugar cereals, then we blame them for being hyper after we didn't gave them the sugar that made them hyper. And I learned this not only through research, but with my own granddaughter. You know how grandparents do. She'd come over. She's a really super bright kid. She gets a grade. She's all of that. But we would give her ice cream and candy and stuff, and man, at some point, we'd kick in and be bouncing off the wall. And we exactly.
Well, they've also took away recess. They've also in law school.
We send them back to their parents, right?
You used to have 45-minute recesses or gym classes where they would run these kids hard. We ran hard, and then our reward was to play dodgeball.
I'm not going to ask you how old you were, but that's exactly what we did when I grew up, because you could burn off a lot of that stuff. And the kids now are not able to burn it off because, like you say, they've lost the recess. Exercise, proper nutrition, proper vitamins and herbs go a long way toward overall health. But this is something I want to bring up based on what you said. When a person is diagnosed with a mental disorder, how come before we get them to mental health, we don't take them through a medical doctor who takes blood work, who check on things like the thyroid and all those type of things to make sure that there's no underlying cause? We might save billions of dollars by just getting people a checkup. If you remember in the old days, we would look at the Westerns, and the guy would get caught in the desert. We couldn't get any liquid, and he would hallucinate. So how do we know when people hydrate, when people are dehydrated, they're not hallucinating, and we're writing this off as mental illness, when all we have to do is, you know, handle the body with fluids and nutrition and things like that. So you are absolutely right in that.
One other anecdote here. I've got a couple of different friends maybe three different people that I know and talked to about it, went to endocrinologists or different specialists. And one of them that I know, I kept begging him. I said, look, you know, you're on antidepressants, you're having all these yeast infections, you're having joint pain, and we know that these antidepressants, after a while, they stop losing their effectiveness. I said, have you had your doctor check your vitamin D level? And every time I talked to this woman for 2 years, I said that. Have you? No. Guess what it was when they finally checked it after 2 years? Undetectable. Undetectable.
Oh,
it was, there was no vitamin D level. And that woman finally died because I told her, I said, get 3 Diflucan, take 1 every 2 weeks to try to knock your yeast down. Well, she took all 3 at once, and I think that put her into kidney failure. But she had been in a car wreck back in the 90s, and they gave her, I forget how many surgeries it was, you know, maybe a dozen different surgeries. And I said, you were depleted in magnesium from the stress of the car wreck. You needed to be put on some kind of magnesium all this time just to deal with that. And then all these medicines are throwing off your gut bacteria. They know there's a mind, a chemical connection between your gut and your brain. That's why I couldn't believe the way that psychiatrist responded to me when I said, have you ever checked any of your patients for gluten intolerance or toxoplasmosis? And she said, well, I look like a gastroenterologist. She just got really defensive. And it's because they, I think, are so corrupted by these massive drug companies that they're basically, they know not to look for that because it could jeopardize their job. 60 Minutes, about a month ago, did something that talked about how, did a story, and I couldn't believe it. I didn't see it, but I looked it up. There's articles written about it. They were offering incentives like strippers and free trips to these prescribers, these doctors.
Oh, yeah, they've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, I know. There's a story about it in 2018, but I couldn't believe 60 Minutes did a story about it just this year. It's almost like, you know, maybe the pharmaceutical industry wasn't spending enough on advertising, so they kicked them in the teeth a little bit and said, come on, we need some more ad revenue, or else we got more where that came from, you know? It's like, capiche, kick in some more money here, we got more where that came from. Huh?
What's your first name?
Mike from Kentucky.
Okay, Mike.
I've been studying these issues for almost 20 years.
Deanna?
Yes.
This is the show where you had Fred and Mike from Kentucky on together because he has given some knowledge that is nice and
sure you're a good
from
team.
Anybody else. This is Fred and Mike's show. This is,
yeah.
This is a great and it's backing me up 100%. Yeah,
yep.
And I appreciate you. That's right.
A lot of people can do with some liquid vitamin B, especially to get older. A little bit of liquid vitamin B under the tongue, it won't hurt you. And I like omega fatty acids to help, and a Calm. There's a product actually called Calm Magnesium. You can brush your teeth with it or drink it as a hot tea.
I
like valerian root. If you get in a situation where life is really stressing you out, it'll only work for a short time, but it's better than going to the doctor and getting a record for a medical illness and having your Second Amendment rights in jeopardy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mike,
yeah.
For calling in.
All right. Sure. Thanks.
Okay, take care. We got to get you two together.
Yeah, he actually was giving us some good information because a lot of this stuff can disappear with nutrition, exercise, proper rest. There's a lot of things, but the medical examination is very important, and I want to expand on that just for 30 seconds or so. It is very difficult to know the difference between somebody who is babbling incoherently because they're mentally ill and somebody that has a brain tumor. It's hard to know the difference from depression and anemia if you don't have a medical examination. And I think we could knock out at least, and this is my own personal opinion, half of the people diagnosed with mental illness, and that's a conservative figure on my point, if we did those type of things. The thyroid can cause things that mirror mental illness and cause physical deterioration. So we have to start approaching this differently. And we say, okay, he's got to go through these different things. And now these things check out, we can look at something else.
Right. Okay, we'll be right back after a brief commercial. Be right back. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest this last hour has been Reverend Frederick Shaw, and we just were talking with Mike, who called in. And there are so many things that we can do with nutrition, with all kinds of. I practice energy medicine, and do a lot of meditation. EFT certified. I'm a Reiki master, so I believe in other things. But I do understand that there are people who do have some issues, whether it's dementia, whatever it is, that, you know, that it's a very, very sad thing.
Well,
when they do have these problems. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this show, we've hit on some very important things, and you know, anything that does not harm the body physically and anything that does not affect you mentally, that can enhance a person's viewpoint and in life, I think is good for it. Be it yoga, be it energy, be it whatever it is a person's own solution.
Right.
The thing is that those things are being shut down in this society and everything is becoming about mental health. And it's funny we use those words, but it doesn't provide any help. Veterans are killing themselves at over 20 a day. Homeless population is exploding. Children are being electroshocked. Pregnant women are being electroshocked. Folks are walking the street like never before, talking to themselves and fighting the air. People are running up on police officers with knives and stuff as if they don't understand what the consequences will be. And then we're talking about more mental health, and it's like the fox guarding the hen house, telling the farmer we need more foxes because somebody is coming through here eating the hen. Well, you might think it's foxes.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the older methods of taking care of one's body are really the best. And then when allopathic medicine became popular after who did that report? Anyway, there was a report done, and they decided that allopathic medicine was funded by Carnegie, and they decided that the way to treat problems, health problems, was through vaccines and medications and other things, rather than the old Chinese herbs and the old Chinese ways of doing things that have been around for 5,000 years. Not only Chinese medicine, but techniques from India and from all your old civilizations that had ways of taking care of their body, and healing themselves. It was a remarkable thing. The Flexner report. It was the Flexner report in 1910.
Well, as you know, all those practices are still around. I'm not good enough to be able to evaluate them. I do know that proper nutrition, I do know putting the right things in your body helps you. And, you know, so that's where we have to go from there.
Exactly. And don't electroshock your children. Please, please. Thank you so much for being on the program today. Bless
you. Thank you. You can get anytime. Okay, then.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you next week.